This is one in a series of podcasts from the Hyatt Webb Conference in Austin, 2011.
Again, SOCH 12, I'd like to introduce Fran Zablocki from SUNY Geneseo. I just found out that he is a University of Buffalo grad, and talking about the conference in 2013, both looking forward to that in a big way. So without any more talk here, let me introduce Fran, talking about In the Shadow of the Colossi. Fran, it's all yours.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
Yeah, I am particularly excited about going back to Buffalo, getting some insanity suicide wings with some people. So I'll start that group up right now. You can sign, come to me. We'll go get some good stuff. I'm here today to present In the Shadow of the Colossi, Alumni Online Communities in the Age of Facebook and LinkedIn. Those are the Colossi. That's me in the front boat right there. That's you. Oh, I'm losing my mic. Oh, is that one? There we go. See? That works much better. Okay. So that's you in the boat behind me, and we are heading into the shadow. It's very brave of you to come with me on this journey. I appreciate it. Who am I? Fran Zablocki, Online Community Manager, SUNY Geneseo Alumni Relations. What have I done? In the last year and a half, I have planned, built, branded, and launched SUNY Geneseo's new online alumni community. What am I going to talk about today? I'm going to talk about the state of the alumni online community industry, some of the software products that are out there that are available for you. I'm going to talk about the strategy and execution that we used for Unite, which is what we branded the online community at Geneseo as. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what kind of results we've had after a year and what kind of lessons we've learned. So first off, the state of the industry. There are only a couple of these full-service alumni systems. Andy Shainlin from Alumni Futures, who I highly suggest you follow on Twitter and take a look at his blog, because he is, in my opinion, the foremost authority on alumni issues today, calls these walled gardens. These are closed to non-alumni. They are only open to the population of your alumni body. They trade the size of the network for exclusivity. They're behind a password. Only your alumni can get into the network. And the advantage that these systems have is that they leverage your alumni trust. Okay, there's a big difference between the demographic that the enrollment and admissions folks use and the alumni office deals with, because with enrollment and admissions, you have a lot of people of similar age, of similar technical capabilities. With alumni, it runs the gamut. You could have somebody who doesn't use technology at all. You could have somebody who's very savvy, some recent alums. And so trust is actually a huge factor. Not everyone in my audience necessarily trusts Facebook. Not everyone in my audience necessarily trusts social media. And so it's important that they have another option if they need it, or an additional option if they need it. And so that's what these communities leverage to be competitive with the big social networks. Two big examples, two competitors in this full-service alumni system area are iModules and Harris Connect. Show of hands, how many people are using one of these systems right now at their schools? Okay, quite a few. They offer, or at least claim to offer, many different features. And so, you've got an online directory, you have email marketing, you have events management, online giving options, membership management, social and career networking, content management, all those things. Not all of those things are necessarily useful, and I'll get to that a little bit later, but those are the core components of those full-service alumni systems. Then you have companies such as Evertrue, who make products specifically for alumni and nobody else. So Evertrue is a mobile alumni app that is doing great things with Brown and a couple other schools and allowing your alumni to connect, just targeting that audience. Then you have solutions that are crossover solutions, such as Constant Contact, which a lot of us probably have used in the past for email marketing and event management, things like that. These aren't specifically targeted towards alumni, but you can use them to do a lot of the things that you would need to do. And then, of course, you have the two colossi, Facebook and LinkedIn. These are open public networks. They overlap almost all the features of these private networks that we're talking about, Harris. and iModules. So what the challenge is for any alumni office who is going to implement one of these private networks is to be relevant against these huge colossi. How do you possibly compete against Facebook and LinkedIn? So I obviously had a moment of panic when I got hired at Geneseo. They had just signed a contract, a 5-year contract for Harris Connect. I was not there before they made that decision, so I got there and was told that you need to make this work. Did I just inherit a system that is dead in the water? I had 10 months to get it live. The solution that we came up with at Geneseo was Unite, Geneseo Online Community. How did Unite come to be? This was the project plan. Here's the elevator speech. Unite is a collection of online sites and services that help Geneseo alumni find and connect with each other and the institution by sharing news, conversation, experiences, and expertise. But I wanted to boil it down to even one smaller piece. It's just one sentence. It is a place for online for alumni to do the things that they want to do to engage with each other and Geneseo. And I wanted to start broad. I wanted it to be able to cover a lot of different things because I didn't want to get pigeonholed in with one particular type of technology. So we had some really distinct goals right from the beginning. We wanted to launch in 10 months. We wanted to get 10% of all of our alumni to register for this system, for this program, within 1 year. We wanted to establish and grow an online social media presence for the alumni, because we didn't have much of a Twitter and Facebook presence before that. And we wanted to get new alumni. 50% of the graduating class of 2011 registered, at least 50%, registered for Unite before they graduated so that they were in the system right from the start. Identified 4 components of a successful launch. We needed this to be collaborative. I wasn't going to be able to do this by myself. I needed to have the help of all the different people who I work with in the advancement division and some people that I work with in some other divisions. We needed to have rock solid data integration with Banner, which is our main system, record keeping system. We needed to make sure that we chose the right features from the right providers. And most importantly, we needed to make sure that we marketed the heck out of this so that we could establish this brand as something that was in people's minds in the same sphere as Facebook and LinkedIn. So no small task. So the project team, like I said, it was cross-divisional. We had advancement data services, DBAs, we had the alumni team, including myself, our web developers and web designers, marketing office, one of whom is here right now, Laura Kenyon, not just the Link magazine publisher, but also an integral part to the success of this project. And the project manager, me. So the first issue before we got to do any of the fun stuff, and the first issue for any of you before you get to get, you know, come up with a brand, come up with a logo, try to figure out the mix, is data integration. The online community is only as good as your online directory. The online directory is where people are going to be able to go and find each other, be able to search someone up that they have lost touch with, be able to find out who else is in the same city they just moved into. Your online directory is only as good as your data, and if your data is garbage, you might as well not even start the project. So the first thing I had to do was go to the data folks and say, where are we at with data? What are we missing? What's good? What's bad? So you have to keep a really close relationship with those data folks. Things that we came across during this process was data integrity. We were missing a lot of information on alumni. A lot of club and association information that over the years people hadn't grabbed before people had gone out the door with their diploma. We had to deal with privacy. How much information is okay to share, even in a private network? What are people going to be comfortable with sharing? We settled on what would be in a phone book and what would be in a print directory, and then we took a couple special steps with things like email and phone numbers, where email is actually masked in the system. So you can contact somebody one way, but you don't know what their email address is. That prevents people from spamming, gives them some extra step for them to actually get in contact, puts the onus of contact on or contacting back on the person who received the email. One of the hugest issues for us was authentication. Before, about 1995, no one knew what their identification number was at Geneseo. It was an internal number only. No one ever told them. No one, you know, there was no point where they would have remembered it. Current students know these GIDs, Geneseo IDs, like the back of their hand. They know it. But older alum don't know it. So we needed to figure out a way to get those to them that was secure so that they weren't calling our office 50 times a day to figure out what that is. And it must synchronize nightly. It has to talk to Banner every night. You can't even let it go a day because you'll end up with data redundancy, you'll end up with something before, you know, one piece of data that's out of date coming before another one that should be in there. So those are some of the data integration issues. Next up was feature selection. What actions do alumni want to take? Just like everybody else, they want to share, they want to find, they want to promote, they want to participate, they want to discuss. Well, what actions does Geneseo want alumni to take? Well, all of the above, right? But we also want them to lead and to support. So how do we find the right mix of features? Who's the right provider for each of those features? And let's not use a feature just because we've already paid for it. Harris Connect says they can do social media. Can they really do social media? The answer is no. They can't do it. Can they do email marketing? Yes. Can they do events management? Yes. So how did we break it up? What was the ultimate decision? Well, it's a mixture. The online directory, alumni search, you can see permanent email, event registration, class notes, all that was Harris Connect. Broadcast news and direct dialogue, as you'd expect, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Job postings and job search, LinkedIn and Harris Connect share that role. Photo sharing, Facebook and Flickr, photo galleries are Flickr. We have an FAQ in the social media directory on the website, and we are trying to figure out what we're going to do with our mobile apps. So you're talking about all these things under the umbrella of Unite, but there's, like, you know, all these different systems. So how do you get the message across that this is out there without getting into the weeds with all these different systems? Well, we have to market it, we have to promote it, and we have to take an umbrella strategy to it. We need every site and feature tied to one brand, okay? We need, no matter where you get your information, you to know that this is Unite, this is the Geneseo online community. This umbrella strategy also gives us the advantage of having flexibility for the future. We can change the feature mix. We can change every single one of the companies that provides the apps for this when better stuff comes around, and we can keep Unite and we can keep everything under that umbrella. We needed recognizable, memorable logos, and I'm, you know, very fortunate to work with some very talented designers on putting this together. And the night, where the Knights, the Geneseo Knights, were uniting, I was able to actually get the two different marks. And you see on the left-hand side, we've got the main one, but on the right-hand side, I wanted to make sure we had something that was branded that fit in all the weird little spaces that you see online. So we would have a square brand for our Twitter feed. I wanted to keep it simple and funnel everything to a single place. So every single piece of promotion pointed you and funneled you to one web page, and that was go.geneseo.edu/unite. Once they got there, we wanted them to take action quickly. So this was actually a cross-media strategy. It was not just an online and social media strategy, it was a cross-media strategy, because we were trying to establish this tool as something that people would want to do, and because all of our alumni get their communications through all these different channels, we had to be present in every single one. Online was the most obvious, and this is where we pointed everybody to. This is the Unite homepage. It's not very snazzy, but it's very functional. It gets people right to where they need to go. Lets them take action on what they need to do. Every single one of our pages on the alumni site has a login on the left-hand side, which is branded with Unite and has links to all of our social media. On the homepage of the alumni site, we have a quick links toolbar that takes people directly to those particular tools from the homepage. The alumni blog, which was also one of the things we started after the launch of Unite, is branded with Unite. The Twitter feed has the same brand. Facebook is used, and when we post in Facebook from the blog, the Unite logo shows up. So all of this was intended to just, you know, overwhelm people with this is the official brand. This is Geneseo. This is Geneseo Alumni Online. Same thing with LinkedIn. We wanted a social media directory so that in addition to all the different things that we were providing at Geneseo, we would be able to give people a space to put their own social media if they were a club or activity or a Greek group or something like that. And also make it easily disseminated on one page so you can see very clearly which channels have what type of social media used for them. Created a bunch of video tutorials allowing people to know how to register and giving a survey of all the different social media. Now this seems, okay, to this crowd this probably seems a little crazy, right? Well, why would I need to know, have you take me hand in hand, tell me all these different social media? Well, it's all about who the audience is. To understand, we're usually, you know, if you're in enrollment, you're not worried about whether somebody knows what Facebook and Twitter can do for you. But if you're an alumni and you're trying to get people to come to an online site who may be afraid of that type of thing, they may not have used it, maybe the first time they've ever used it, you want to make sure that they have someone who can hold their hand through it, have a little brief tutorial. This is what it is. This is what it can do to help you. So that's why we created those tutorial videos. And a little bit more counterintuitive, we used print advertising. We used traditional media to promote new media. And we did that through a number of different places. The most obvious and the biggest impact was our alumni magazine, which goes out 3 times a year. We didn't buy ad space, but we convinced our alumni magazine editor to give us a twofold, that's actually the bottom half of two different pages, in 3 successive magazines. We wanted it to be modern, we wanted it to be clean, we wanted it to be something that would be compelling to get people to take an action. So this went seasonally. You can see the penguins for the winter, butterflies for the summer. We wanted to encourage people. Once the summer came along, we were about 9 months in. We'd had thousands of people sign up. We wanted to use that, you know, say there are a lot of people already here. Don't be shy, jump in. On the back of each of the magazines, I wanted to just have a very simple message, something that would really stand out if this was sitting on the coffee table. What can you do with this? Share. Share your big promotion. Share your new addition. Share the help that you need or the help that you can give. And we tried to be a little bit funny about it, a little bit quirky. That was a little bit of a departure from our normal communications planning. There's another one. Search for an event near you, Business Connection Philadelphia, or that gorgeous redhead who lived in Erie Hall. That's the type of thing that we were hoping would resonate with alumni. We did email promotion, which I'll freely admit probably needs the most work out of all the things that we put out. But we wanted to tell people through our email newsletter that Unite was here, and we ran some promotions and said, you know, if you can sign up by this date, we'll give you a prize. Well, this guy, of course, he gets his free sweatshirt and refuses to smile. Can't really do much about that. It's the best we could get. Our photo editor was laughing about that one. And lastly, we did in-person engagement. So this is actually with current students. What better place to get current students to actually pay attention when they're other than when they're standing in line? So we tied in a program with student services called Countdown to Commencement, where all the seniors basically take care of all the things they need to do before they graduate, all in one place. Unite was right at the head of that. We had kiosks that said, register here. We had all of our staff trained to get people done. Just get them in. Just get them registered. 40 seconds, they're done. They move on. We give them literature about what it is. Again, this is young students going to use a social media site, but using traditional media to get them engaged. We use some netbooks to keep the size down. And I know QR codes are something that I want to move into, but our first attempt at getting business cards to be social media friendly was convincing the entire alumni staff that we needed to have our social media presences on our business cards. And so this is an example of the front, and this is the back. And I think it's great that our Associate Vice President for Alumni has this on her card. So whenever she goes out and meets alumni, whenever she talks up Unite, she can say, here you go, this is the information you need. Take a look at this website. And this is even more low-tech, staff manuals, a little bit of internal marketing. Said, you know what, we've got major gift officers and we've got other people who aren't going to know what this is unless we tell them about it. And you know what, they may not go online to see it, but at least they can talk about it intelligently. They can promote it at the events they're going to with alumni. Here's a really quick and easy way of looking at it. Unite at a glance. What is it? So that's for internal staff use, so they can share it with other people. So after all this marketing promotion, we were able to launch on time in 10 months. And that was in 2010, in October, so we are exactly 1 year after. We've had almost 4,500 registered users. That's 90% of our goal, and 9% of all alumni have registered for Unite. Over 55% of the class of 2011 signed up before graduation. That was exceeding our goal. After starting a new Facebook page, we now have 2,660 as of a couple days ago. We've had 10,000 unique visits to the Unite homepage. We've had 15,000 alumni directory searches, and this is actually the one metric that I consider the most important, because getting people in the door is fine. Making sure they're actually doing something once they're in the door is even more important. This is what we wanted them to do all along. We wanted to make sure that people were looking for each other, making those connections. That number shows me that people are using that tool. 250 class notes were submitted online, and this completely changed our class note structure from one that where only people could only see it when they had the alumni magazine in their hands to real time. Now again, for this crowd, I know this seems kind of low tech and it seems kind of, you know, old knowledge in a way, but in the alumni world, we tried to reach out. We're trying to target a really broad demographic and try to use different tools and techniques to reach different generations. So we wanted to have a variety of different tactics for that. And I'm really proud to say that during this year, the Unite program won the SUNY Quad, which is the State University of New York, Award of Excellence for Best in Category for Alumni Programs. So it was a really great achievement for us, good recognition. But not everything went well, and we certainly learned a lot of lessons along the way. At least for me, creating an online alumni community involved an awful lot of offline work, as you can see from all the different print and low-tech marketing. It required an entire division, not just me. I mean, I managed the project, but it was the ability of everyone to collaborate. It was me being able to go and pull in resources from different areas without having to worry about getting pushback that made this successful. And again, using traditional media to promote new media works, cross media. Not new media, not old, but cross media is the goal when you want to cross promote all of your different channels. Private networks can be relevant in conjunction with public networks because your alumni trust you and they may not trust those other networks. And they may trust them, but they may want that extra connection. They know when they talk to somebody in the Unite network that they're a fellow alum. They automatically have that affinity for each other. There's an understanding there that may not be present on something like Facebook or even LinkedIn. Another thing I'll warn anybody, if you don't already know, the Harris iModules, they say they're all inclusive. They're not. They say they have all these different features. They don't really. Some of them are in beta indefinitely. Kind of false starts. Harris has a social media feature that you can buy for $1,500 a year. Kind of hard to sell that when you can get amazing social media on any number of different sites for free all the time, especially since it didn't work during the demo that they tried to show me. So that kind of thing, there's all kinds of bloatware. So make sure you go piece by piece through this software, figure out what will work from it, and figure out what doesn't work, and just throw it to the side, move on. Another thing we had to do, which I wasn't sure how they were going to react, but I basically rewrote their entire frequently asked questions section, as did Laura. Laura helped me out with that as well. The writing wasn't up to par. It was technical writing that probably hadn't been edited in about 5 years, so we had to update it. We just scrapped it. We wrote it all ourselves. We said, look, here you go, Harris. You guys can have what we did, but this wasn't up to par. You really should take a look at this. And being able to work with our IT team was huge, too. Being able to create a self-service ID generator has probably saved us the single thing that saved us the most time in customer service calls. People were able to go in and authenticate using different criteria other than their GID on our server and have the GID sent to them automatically based on those criteria being filled out correctly. And so the number of technical support calls we had of, I don't know what my GID is, I can't figure out how to get into the system, were drastically reduced from the number that Harris normally has for its clients. Just this last Thursday, and this was me on last Thursday, I had another moment of panic, and I'm still kind of panicking because we purchased the Harris Career Advisory Network in July of this year. LinkedIn Classmates just released beta on Thursday. I feel like maybe our new Career Advancement Network, which was going to be the next big thing, might be irrelevant. Might have been made irrelevant overnight. What am I going to do? Stay tuned. Classmates is amazing. It takes all the LinkedIn people who went to all the institutions that you went to, okay? Anything that anybody reports. So I can sort at the top. You can see I was graduating at my master's at the State University of New York at Buffalo. Not only does it tell me where everybody is working, it tells me what they're doing, where they live, and this is just the dashboard. It automatically defaults to the years that I went there, knowing that I'm going to care about the people who I was actually in class with more than anybody else, but that doesn't mean that I can't go back in time and find other people. So if you have an alumni office, which I imagine almost all of you do, with an alumni staff member who is an alum of that college, you've walked into a wealth of information with this new Classmates feature. They can go in and they can basically look and see everything that people have put on LinkedIn. And for your career services area and for your alumni area, this is a gold mine. So it may be that we have to use this type of technology instead of Harris moving forward, and it's a very likely situation. But it's very new. I haven't even had a chance to really take a look at it in too much detail, but just right out of the box, I was really impressed with how useful it was for me to see people who I haven't seen in a while, see what they're doing, where they're living. And if you're looking for a new job, who better to talk to than somebody who was in your class and is doing the exact same thing? It puts it out there right there. It doesn't even make it that hard. So what are the next steps? What does this next year look like now that we've got this thing launched? I'll give a shout out to SUNY Brockport. We want to do a social media mashup page. It's not good enough now just to have a static directory like I showed you earlier. We want to do a mashup page. We want to have feeds coming into the alumni website. We're taking people from the alumni website to social media. We want to bring social media back in to our website. So we want to do something similar to this. If you're looking for examples of really good social media mashup pages, Brockport's a good one. Tufts has an amazing site. William and Mary has an incredible site. So take a look at those for ideas on how to do the same thing. We're using Storify, which I know has been talked about quite a bit this conference. We're going to use Storify to encapsulate all the events that we do, especially the big ones like reunion. And this is a benefit that is twofold, because we can use this to prove just how impactful social media can be for an event. And I'm thinking back to what Seth Odell was talking about yesterday with real live video streaming for alumni events. That hit me like a load of bricks. I'm like, this is what we need to be doing this right now. Storify is a nice way to get everything from social media, the written and the photo and video after the fact. But to take it a step even further, let's get out there and start doing alumni events in real time and sharing that kind of thing. But being able to curate all that stuff is important, because that way you can take it to the administrators and say, look, this is the impact social media is having. This is what's going on. You put it in front of them in a format that they can digest easily, as opposed to trying to put your boss in front of TweetDeck and watching them glaze over. I'm looking into all kinds of different mobile apps, scavengers here at this conference. We have an alumni program that challenges people to go around campus at different times of the year and do different activities. Take a picture at the opening hockey game. Go to the Idle Hour, drinking establishment in Geneseo, and take a picture outside the Idle Hour at a certain point in the night, without drinks. But still, show that you were there. Show that you participated in a tradition, and then share it with everybody else. Scavenger seems like a perfect match for that. So I'm looking into trying to use Scavenger for that. I mentioned Evertrue. We're looking at trying to do some different mobile mashups and really getting out there on mobile. Harris Connect also has a mobile option, but I haven't seen too much. They've just announced that they're doing it. So trying to decide, kind of doing this whole process all over again with mobile, trying to figure out what the best solution is for our audience. I don't know how much time I've got left, but I can take any questions anybody might have. I've got a blog, franzablocky.com. I'm going to be putting up all the slides from this presentation on that blog. You can reach me at Zablocky. I've got my email address there. Yes, actually, Career Services has been a very diplomatic process. I've had numerous discussions with the Director of Career Services about how this is a tool that I think would be enormously helpful for them, but I had to get them over the immediate knee-jerk reaction of, oh my God, you're trying to steal our programs away from us. And I said, no, actually, ideally, what would happen is we would work in conjunction, and you would manage this. You would administer the career network when it comes out. And quite honestly, I've been trying to make inroads with them to say, you need to be on LinkedIn. But, that basically, it's not good enough to just have phone calls and meet people in person. This is what you need to do. So that's a big cultural shift for them, but making inroads, definitely. Sure. What we offer, what Harris has built into it, is called permanent email. We've had a bit of confusion over this as to, like, this is not the continuation of your student email account. This is actually an email forwarding address that points to an email that you set up, that you designate. So, you could have your Gmail account, but I could be franzablocky at alum.geneseo.edu on my resume, or even in email correspondence, but really it's pointing to my Gmail account. But it allows me to have tie in the school and the affinity, which a lot of recent graduates don't want to lose, and which basically we have been dropping for like the last, since we started it. At some point, about 2 or 3 months after students were graduating, we were just kind of like, sorry, we can't help you out. You're going to lose the email address that has been, your email identity for years. So now at least we have somewhere for them to go. And it's not a full-fledged service, but it does, it does work, and we've had about 950 of those 4,500 sign up for it. Yeah. There is there's basically a user type field that determines what they can and cannot see and what they can and cannot use when they get into the system. And at the present time, alumni and the senior class are in there. There's really no reason why all the students shouldn't be in there, and especially with the career network that's going to come out, it makes sense to have them in the system as soon as they start as a student, so that's what we're intending to do. We've also looked at bringing parents in, bringing friends in, because really it doesn't make sense to exclude anybody who's part of the alumni network, part of that affinity network. So, but it's all managed basically by a type field, and alumni are categorized. It's a hierarchy. So you have, alumni at the top which supersedes if you're a staff member, which supersedes if you're, you know, a parent, basically. And so whichever one of those you have in your profile will tag you that way. Saw somebody over here, yep. Yeah, it was, I don't know all the technical details, but I know that they were able to take in, you know, a combination of your class year, your name, part of your social security number, and that collective information gave you either green or red light to an automated message going out, emailing you that number. And we debated back and forth, like, how secure is email for this type of thing? And we said, well, what are we risking here? What kind of information is out there? Well, we don't bring all the information over from Banner to Harris. I mean, Harris has quite a bit of it. It's a lot of the demographic information. It's the affinity-based information. But none of their giving history is there. None of that type of really sensitive information is on there. And so, but it was definitely... you know, a roundtable discussion with our security guys in IT, and they were more comfortable housing that little piece of software internally than letting Harris handle it with, kind of their out-of-the-box solution. And the reason why that didn't work is because Harris requires email to match up as well in order to get the GID. And my argument to them was, well, what's the most likely thing that's changed for them since they were last in the system? Probably their email, so it's gonna cause a whole bunch of mismatches that way. So we went on our own road with that.
One thing, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, go ahead. Yeah, I can tell you that, you know, of the 4,500 or so alumni who are registered, a great deal of them used what we called the GID finder. I mean, the hits on the page for that are somewhere close to the number of people who are actually in the system. So it was clear that people needed it. It's clear that they were using it. And based on the number of tech support emails and calls we got, it's clear that it was working pretty successfully. I mean, I didn't get overwhelmed with, I mean, the initial launch, I think I had about 50, and then since then it's just a sprinkling, you know. And usually, and we have this issue, and again, this goes back to the, if your data is not good, you're going to run into problems at the other end. And we actually have some folks who have never made it into the digital world, alumni who still only exist in a paper record. And that's usually our older alumni who, for whatever reason, between legacy systems being transferred over, they just never made it. And so it's kind of a good trap to catch. You know, we know that if they use the GID lookup and it doesn't work, and then they email us and then we look it up and they're not in there, we know that's the case, and that's allowed us to basically recover them as an ID and get them back into the system for everything else that we do, mailings and emails and stuff like that. So it's been good. We have, and we want to include, all faculty are actually in the system as it is right now and can be searched up by alumni. We've had both ways. We've had faculty who want to get back in touch with current old students, and students who really wanted to get back in touch with faculty. And what I really want to do is, with this career advisory network, one of the ideas is to make it just an advisory network, not just career. You know, I mean, could be a much broader thing. It doesn't have to be. You know, if anyone was at Kevin Prentice's presentation yesterday, he talked about, you know, everybody has multiple different affinities for different things. It doesn't necessarily have to be career related. So it'd be great to be able to have a tool, whether it's Harris or not, that says, I'm interested in racquetball and physics. And here's, you know, everybody else who matches up to that. Could be a physics teacher who plays racquetball. Could be a student who's on the racquetball team who's in the physics program. Could be an alum who, you know, is a scientist somewhere. I mean, you don't want to limit that kind of connection if you can.